Welcome to the final episode of the Talking to Ourselves podcast. That's right, folks. After 6 years, 73 episodes, nearly 150 hours of interviews with some of the best marketing minds to ever do it, my gut, my heart is telling me now is the right time to close out what has been the most enlightening undertaking of my professional life. But first, I feel compelled to tell you what I hope longtime listeners already know, that I didn't start this podcast in the hopes of elevating my status or attracting attention or any of that bullshit. The truth is, I started this show in January 2018 really as nothing more than a response to my own imposter syndrome. And actually, I think the term imposter syndrome is misleading because it implies that you got the goods, which at the start of this podcast in 2018, I did not. I had spent 6 years at Crisp & Porter Bogusky, followed by 2 years at Creative Artists Agency. Lucky enough to be there for the height of both marketing agencies. Straight up, the gift of starting your career at a quote-unquote hot shop like CPB is that in exchange for the long hours, Kool-Aid ingestion, and pulling off a few decent campaigns, hopefully, you get to trade off the reputation of that company, conflating its greatness with your own. It's not only a great way to lease self-esteem for a while, it can also give you bargaining power when negotiating your next job. And that's pretty much how, in 2016, I got my first chief creative officer role at a big holding company agency, Momentum, which I believed at the time to be my dream job. Mostly by leveraging my previous agency experiences, I took that CCO position billed as a sort of change maker. It was very exciting. The only problem was 2 years into the job, I really wasn't changing jack shit. I wore trendy joggers to stop my insecurity from dripping out of my pant legs. I'll tell you, in brainstorms with a handful of creatives, that's where I was in my element and feeling very comfortable. But in most other environments, I was basically cosplaying as my ex-bosses. And it was a shitty impression. When it was time to speak in town halls or sell work in client meetings to CMOs, I was painfully rehearsed. Don't sound dumb, don't sound dumb, don't sound dumb, don't sound dumb. In the eternal struggle to thrust one of the 1,000 good agencies out there into among the dozen best agencies out there, I was barely making a dent. I was insecure in my own abilities. And I'm not proud to admit it, but I was burning a lot of calories feeling jealous of the accomplishments of others in similar roles. Eventually, I had to take a good hard look in the mirror, and I ultimately diagnosed that my failure was due less to my lack of experience and more to my lack of understanding and respect for our industry outside the bubble of my valuable yet ultimately limited experiences at CPB and CAA. I had a knowledge gap, really, and I needed to make it up fast. So at industry events and things, I'd start to make a point to engage with CCOs I admired, trying to sort of dispense with the usual small talk and bravado, and instead seize on those interactions to probe from a place of vulnerability. How do you do what you do? Tell me about your creative process. Tell me about your management philosophy. Tell me how you think about selling work. Tell me a war story about picking yourself up from a failure. Fucking tell me anything. Obviously, I didn't pose the questions this way, but that was ultimately what I was getting at. My revelation was that in the right conditions, with the appropriate consent, when you ask thoughtful questions from a place of genuine curiosity and respect without the underlying agenda of asking for a job, it turns out a lot of our industry's top leaders are quite generous with their wisdom. I found these sort of calculated interactions, though sparse, to be nourishing. Which then begged the question, what if you could manufacture said right conditions to have more of these conversations? And thus the idea for a podcast that I doubted anyone besides my dad would ever listen to was born. hand to God, I didn't do this with the remote expectation of anyone actually listening. Honestly, I thought of it as a sort of customized CCO business school curriculum that I was designing to my exact specifications, posing as a podcast. You know, all advertising people have a handful of sort of go-to sayings and PR language. So as a self-deprecating reminder to myself to try to push past the canned talking points, as well as to signal to my guests the illusion of intimacy, I called the show Talking to Ourselves. My plan was to host anywhere from a half dozen to a dozen interviews with some well-known CCOs who I knew just well enough to secure their participation. I still look back and marvel at the generosity of Nick Law, then global CCO at RGA, who agreed to be guest number one to a show that didn't actually exist. And by the way, speaking of which, before we start, how the fuck do you even record a podcast in 2018? Those who know me know I'm not the most technologically savvy. Prior to COVID, I was firmly of the belief that no meaningful interview could be conducted virtually. It had to be live, which is a quaint notion now in the remote working age, of course. So I emailed Joel Simon at JSM Music. Despite barely knowing me, he immediately agreed to produce my podcast and let me host from his office without so much as a single follow-up question. He partnered me with his producer, Jeff Fiorello, who rolled up his sleeves with me to just figure shit out step by step. How do you host a podcast? What's the best audio experience? What's the best experience to get guests to loosen up and say something real? I'm certain this show would have never gotten off the ground without Joel and Jeff. Thank you guys. So I did the first few interviews, and the insecurity that I displayed at work inevitably bled into the first handful of episodes. I look back at maybe the first dozen episodes, and I'm reminded of Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney. You know, remember when you said the love you take is equal to the love you make? That was awesome. It was a lot of that. Okay. I meticulously scripted every question and read from the page as my poor, poor guests waited for me to complete long blocks of copy. I'd ask the question, answer my own question, then restate the question. Sometimes frustrated guests would basically just be like, yeah, you basically just what you said. Not knowing how to transition from one subject to the next, we'd spend way too long on a guest's childhood. I think I had Rob Riley talking about his high school days for like 45 minutes. The other thing I'd do is nod along to an answer, then essentially co-sign it by re-articulating what the guest just said with a lengthier answer than the one they gave, which to any aspiring interviewer out there is just not a great way to sustain the momentum of any conversation, really. After each episode, I'd send Jeff lengthy edit notes to clean up my conversational messes and remove all the ums and does. And that poor bastard just accommodated every edit. God bless him. But as I slowly started to learn from my mistakes and see some patterns and find a comfort level, some interesting things started to materialize and manifest. First, I discovered that successfully recording my first batch of episodes featuring a handful of respected folks who I knew granted me permission to do cold outreach and secure interviews with respected folks who I'd never met before and who'd never heard of me. The more accomplished the guest, the more eager the next guest. And suddenly folks like David Lubars and David Droga and Ryan Reynolds are saying yes. Second, unbeknownst to my audience, I could customize my guest list to my evolving interests and ambitions. When my dream was to be a great CCO at a big company, I could talk to great CCOs working at big companies like Ari Weiss, Susan Hoffman, Greg Hahn. When I wanted to be better at understanding the directing and production side, I could talk to Paul Hunter at Pretty Bird, Patrick Milling Smith at Smuggler. As I became more interested in getting smart about clients' business and what's really in their head and what keeps them up at night, I could talk to CMOs like Fernando Machado. As I started to wrap my head around maybe starting my own company, do I dare? I could talk to entrepreneurs like Keith Cartwright, Anselmo Ramos, Greg Hahn again. And suddenly, people I really respected were soliciting me to be on the show. And honestly, it was a really great feeling. But separate of all that, I discovered that in the world of advertising that just requires so much compromise, it was therapeutic to have one creative outlet in my life that was all mine, executed exactly how I wanted to do it, for better and worse, no inputs, no approvals, no apologies. I think it's a healthy thing for creative people to have some kind of outlet like that, whether it's painting or a podcast or video content, really whatever lights you up. I think you bring your best version of yourself to work when you have something in your personal life that feels uncompromised in whatever form works for you. But certainly the ultimate unintended, unanticipated benefit of all this is this thing that I started for admittedly selfish reasons to help myself, started to help other people in our business. Guys, over the last 6 years, this show has been downloaded hundreds of thousands of times, not just in the US, but across the world. Shout out to my listeners in Australia and Brazil and the UK. And by the way, my one loyal listener in Mongolia, that's real. The show has built little fan bases in the creative and strategy departments of agencies that I've loved and admired, and agencies that are the reason that I got into this business in the first place. And it really helped me appreciate what this show manifested into. Inspiration is like food. You don't eat once and then you're good forever. You need a little bit every day. That's why every day on LinkedIn, marketing leaders are DM'd by countless admirers to no avail to pick their brains over a coffee meeting. I like to think this show became that coffee date for all whose outreach otherwise went unanswered. I've had the privilege to be your coffee sipping, question asking, inspiration seeking proxy. And that's ultimately the legacy of this show that I'm most proud of. Okay, enough sentimentality. Before we sign off, you know I end every episode with the same three questions. Here to ask me my own same three questions, my dad, talking to ourselves super fan, Mr. Mo Farhang. Dad, are you ready to ask me the final three questions?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fire away.
What is the advertising word you hate the most?
So for me, the word that makes my skin crawl the most is consumer, only made worse by a pretentious British accent. Consumer. Use of this word to describe an audience just makes me just like my job less. And it usually lets me know I'm working with the wrong people when they overuse this word to describe human beings. It's just kind of the perfect word for relegating all of mankind to the insatiable garbage disposal of capitalism. In our business, we like to say your strategy is showing. I think when you refer to people as consumers, your cynicism is showing. Okay, next question.
What is the most fucked up response you received in a client meeting?
Okay, so in 2010, I traveled to the Volkswagen headquarters in Herndon, Virginia to present campaign ideas for a recently released Volkswagen minivan called the Routon that nobody wanted to buy. It was a very flawed product on a number of levels. So after we got done presenting, a dozen or so creative ideas to the very German CMO of Volkswagen, a hush fell over the room as he started to sort of stare introspectively into space for way too long. Then he finally said, "One day, there will be a Harvard case study about the failure of this product," which just kind of blew our hair back. We were watching it wash over this guy in real time that he had a product problem too great for any creative advertising solution to solve, which, by the way, is a fair conclusion, but one you'd like realized before you spend 3 months of late nights and weekends trying to crack. Okay, last question.
The one that got away, what is the one idea you couldn't sell, but it will live in your heart forever?
All right, Dad. So that's 2019 Super Bowl in Atlanta. Everybody knows Coke is based in Atlanta. Coke owns Atlanta. at that time, Pepsi owns the Super Bowl. They still had the halftime show, huge media buy. So our question was, well, how might Coke hijack this moment and capitalize on this tension of being the host city but not being a host sponsor? At my old agency, we came up with a simple idea to reprise the most famous Coke campaign of all time called Share a Coke. Very famous, where they put proper nouns on the packaging in place of the word Coca-Cola. But as a sort of cheeky act of, maybe you call it Southern hospitality, to welcome our greatest rival to Atlanta, Coke would create a limited run of bottles that said, share a Coke with Pepsi. And I know that sounds just so painfully simple and maybe even obvious, but I'm telling you, it's such a disruptive mindfuck to see the word Pepsi on Coke packaging in that classic Coke typeface. I think it would have broken the internet and won every award, and the bottles would have become priceless collector's items. We almost sold it. We came very close. But everyone knows at the end of the day, Coke doesn't acknowledge Pepsi. So now the idea lives in perpetuity at the ass end of a farewell podcast about advertising. Dad, you did a good job. You feeling good about your effort here today?
I do.
All right. I agree. So listen, final farewells. Thank you to my friends at Beacon Street for producing this show. Thank you to all the guests who shared their valuable time and invaluable wisdom with all of us. Thank you to all the listeners who chose this, of all podcasts, as their source of inspiration as you navigate your journey through the marketing industry. Thanks to the number one super fan of this show, my dad, Mo Farhang. Love you, Dad. Finally, thank you. Finally, thank you to the Talking to Ourselves podcast for changing my life and making me better at a job that I love. Until we talk again, peace. Dad, give him a peace. Give him a peace.
Peace.
Let them clap for show. Let it rap. You resist this. May trap unknowns. Release for your heart. Speak ballast flowing.